Okay, today's daf is Bav Metzia, daf Pei Vav. We left off on daf Pei Hei Amid Beis. We are at about 10 lines from the bottom of the page, Eliyahu, right in the middle of the line, Eliyahu HaVashchiach B'Msifta D'Rebbe. Last word on the line is Yoma. So says the Gemara, Eliyahu HaVashchiach B'Msifta D'Rebbe. Eliyahu used to come to Rebbe's shir, used to be in Rebbe's yeshiva. Yoma Chad Reish Yarka Hava Nagale V'Lo Asa. One day it was Rosh Chodesh, and Eliyahu didn't come. He was late. Amalei, my time in Nagle Lamar. So Rabbi said, like he would to any Talmud, he says to Eliyahu Navi, why were you so late today? So Amalei, Adu Kimel Avram, Mashni Yadei Umatzli. By the time I woke up Avram Avinu, and I washed his hands, and he davened, and I put him back down to sleep. V'chein li Yitzchak, v'chein li Yaakov, and same with Yitzchak, and same with Yaakov. So it took a long time, so that's why I was late. So V'luk Minu Ba'adei Adadi, he said, so why don't you get them all up at the same time? Why do you have to do one by one? So he said, Savri Takvi Barach Miyamaisa Le'l Mashiach B'lo Zimnei. Because if all three of them are awake at the same time, whatever that might mean, then they can all daven together, and if they all daven together, they're going to bring Mashiach in the wrong time when it's not yet this man, and we don't want that to happen. So he said, is there anyone alive today that has that sort of the capacity to do that? That through the power of their tefillos, they're able to bring Mashiach below Zimnei? He says, yeah, Rabbi Chiya and his children are still around, and they can do that. So Gozer Rabbi Tainisa, Achtinu Rabbi Chiya Obanov. So Rabbi was Gozer Tainis, and he made Rabbi Chiya and his children the Bali Tefila for the Tainis. So that because he wanted to see what they could do. The Tosos on Peivav Amar Aleph, which is really shaykh to this, says Ukminu Lifnei Ateva Shlashtan. He put all three of them up to Davin because he quotes Kedarish Bemedrash to Betainis Tzibur Yordin Lifnei Ateva Shlosha. That on Betainis Tzibur, three people are lead the davening at the same time. So that's why Reb Chiya Banav was okay to have three people. Where does the Medrash get it from? K'dichsiv, v'yedei Moshe kevedim v'aron v'chur v'gomer. Right? The Pasuk says that Moshe Rabbeinu's hands got heavy, and Aaron and Chur, tamchu v'yadav mizeachad mizeachad, that they stood on each side, each one of them on each side of Moshe Rabbeinu. So apparently there were three leading the tefillos together. It was Moshe leading it with one person at each of his sides. So that's normal for a Tainus Tzibur. So he had three Balei Tefillah. Tosos also asks, the Gemara Maseches Megillah says, that Ein Moridin Lefnei Ateva Lo Me'anshei Chayfav Lo Me'anshei Beishan Shekorin La'alfin Einin U'la'ainin Alfin. The Gemara says that you're not supposed to have leading the davening as a Shliach Tzibur people who don't know how to pronounce the letters of the Hebrew language, people who don't know how to differentiate between the Ayin and the Aleph. The Gemara gives us an example, are people that should not be leading the Tefillah. So asks Tosfos, Rabbi Chiya lo yachal amar v'chikisi k'damar hasam. Rabbi Chiya also had certain speech impediments that he was unable to say certain guttural sounds. So if Rabbi Chiya was unable to pronounce certain letters, why were they permitted to put him up there as the Baal Tefillah? So he tells us a big, a very important yisod. He says, Hani mili, hecha de efshar ba'acher. Hachalo hava efshar ba'acher. He says, it's only if it's possible to have someone else who's capable of doing it. But if you have no one else who's capable of doing it properly anyway, so then you're allowed to put someone up who does not know how to pronounce all the letters of the Hebrew language. So for instance, if you read that Gemara about not knowing the difference between an Aleph and an Ayin, how many people in any of our shuls differentiate between the way we pronounce an Aleph and the way every once in a while you'll find a Sephardi who differentiates between an Aleph and an Ayin? Most people don't differentiate between an Aleph and an Ayin. Why are we allowed to put everyone up to Davin? Because usually it's Yefshar to find somebody for all the tefillos that's going to differentiate and that knows the exact pronunciation of the letters. Besides, nowadays, if you do find someone who differentiates, you're not even going to be certain that he's differentiating properly, that he knows exactly what the difference is supposed to be. Anyway, so he puts up Rebbe Chiya and his children to Davin. Amr Masha Faruach V'nash V'zika. They say the words Masha Faruach, right away the wind starts to blow. Amr Marad HaGeshem V'asa Mitra. They say Marad HaGeshem, it starts to pour. Kimata L'meimar Mechayim Esim Ragash Alma. When they're about to say the words Mechayim Esim, so then the world begins to shake when they were about to say Mechayim Esim. Frek Tosos, wait a second. When you after Mashav Baruch Amar Geshem, the phrase Mechayim Mesim comes up before Mashav Baruch Amar Geshem. Also, Atagibor also has a phrase Mechayim Mesim. So it says Tosos, Alfa Gavdika Nami Mechayim Mesim Mekami Mashav Baruch. There is a Mechayim Mesim before Mashav Baruch. Omer Rabbeinu Tam Mishum Detchias Mesim Lahavi Ela Al Yedei. The Tchias HaMesim only comes about through the dew, so you need to get to that first before you get to real Tchias HaMesim. Va'od Yishlam, the B'mashav Ruach Mar Hageshem, Nashav Zika Va'asa Mitra, Mishum Shezehu Iker Tfilas HaRuach Va'Hageshem, Shebebrach Hazu, Avol Tchias HaMesim Ikara Hi Bechasimasa. Well, there might be mention of Tchias HaMesim before Mashav Ruach Mar Hageshem. The primary mention of Tchias HaMesim is after Mashav Ruach Mar Hageshem at the Chasimas HaBracha. Right? When you say Mechaya HaMesim at the Chasim, at the end, at the conclusion of the bracha. When would the Tchias HaMesim happen? Only at the primary mention of Tchias HaMesim, not at a secondary mention of Tchias HaMesim. So anyway, Amri Barakia, Mangali Raza Ba'alma, so up in Shemayim, they were saying, who revealed the secret down in that world of what it would take to have all the tefillos listened to? So Amri Eliyahu, they said, well, Eliyahu went and told them. So Asil Eliyahu Machiu Shisun Pulsi Denura, they brought Eliyahu and they whipped him with fire whips, 60 fire whips. Asa Idmi Lahu Keduva Denura. Then he came and appeared to them like a bear made of fire. Ol Benayu, and he went into the basement, Adrish Vitardinu, and that obviously distracted them from their tefillos, and that way they were unable to conclude the tefillah and bring about Tchias HaMesim and Mashiach before the right time. Shmuel Yachina Asya de Rabbi Ava. Shmuel Yachina was Rabbi's doctor. Chalash Rabbi Be'ene. Rabbi got sick once, so he went to his doctor to find out what to do. Rabbi Yaakov Emden asks a very strange question over here. Rabbi Yaakov Emden says, in the previous story we just heard that Rabbi had Eliyahu Hanavi visit him all the time. So when he got sick, why didn't he just ask Eliyahu Hanavi for help? He could have gone to the supernatural and gotten a little bit of help. Why does he have to go to a regular doctor? So says Rabbi Yaakov Emden, Afal Gavdav Eliyahu Shchiach Gabei, Lo Bikesh Mimenu Refua, She'en Lehanos Mimaisa Nisim. Because there's a halacha that we're not supposed to try to get hana from Maisa Nisim. So in order to avoid getting hana from Maisa Nisim, trying to live in the natural way, so we try to pursue natural means for medical issues. We try not to go the supernatural route, even if you know that that the supernatural is actually legitimate. Meaning, most of the time nowadays, if someone is pursuing a supernatural method of getting better, they have no way of knowing if it's legitimate or not. Usually, obviously, it's not going to be legitimate. Rebbe had something that was legitimate. He had Eliyahu Hanavi, and nevertheless, he felt that it wasn't appropriate to pursue such an avenue for refuah that he had to go to a doctor to get a refuah. So anyway, Amalei Imli Lach Sama. So he said, okay, I need to fill your eyes with a certain medication. Samalei Lo Yechilna. Rebbe said, I can't handle it. Ashtalach Mishra, he said, okay, let me just rub some on your eyelids and it will drip into the eyes. So he said, I can't. Have a mosavle begufsa de samani tusi besad. So he put a bottle of the medicine under Rebbe's pillow when he went to sleep, and that was enough. He was able to get through the pillow and somehow get to his eyes and make him better. How come it's star Rebbe lemismachay? Rebbe liked Shmuel Yachina a lot, and he wanted to give him smicha. But it didn't work out. He was never able to give Shmuel smicha. So Shmuel told Rebbe, don't worry about it, you shouldn't be upset. I saw the Sefer of Adam Rishon, which apparently says what's to be expected from each person who lives. And and it says there that Shmuel Yarchina'a is to be called a Chacham, he's not to be called Rebbe. So it's not in the cards for me that I'm going to be called Rebbe. V'asa de Rebbe al yado tehe. But the cures of Rebbe are going to come through Shmuel Yarchina'a. So he says, I'm perfectly happy with my role in life. My role in life is that I'm going to be able to provide you with refuah when necessary, but I'm not meant to be a Rebbe. The Marsha over here in Chidush Agados says, "Amay chasa shlo nismach." Why did Shmuel not get smicha in the end of the day? Now, the Marsha assumes that Shmuel Yachina is the Shmuel that we know. It's Shmuel as in Ravin Shmuel. So he says, "Why did Shmuel not get smicha in the end of the day? After all, and not why did he not get smicha, but rather, Why did it matter in his life that he didn't get smicha? What difference does it make if he gets smicha or not? Either way, he was Rosh Yeshiva in Arda without smicha. So apparently, in order to be hired as Rosh Yeshiva those days, you didn't need smicha anyway. So in what way did it matter at all? So it says in Marsha that Pe'inyan HaSmicha, there are two issues that relate to having smicha. One is to have Rishus, Lachol Faladun Upatur Milashalim in Ta'a, that you could be Dan Dine Mamanus, and if you make a mistake in Dine Mamanus, you're Pater from paying if you make a mistake. And the second is that Yesh Lo Rishus Lahoros, the Isser V'Heter, that you have the right to paskin Isser V'Heter cases. And that's what the Gemara says, that when Rav came to Bavel, so Rabbi Chiya says, Ben Achos Yorid the Bavel, Yora, and he asked, he tried to get Heter Ora, he said, can he be Mora Isser V'Heter? He said, yeah, Yora, let him be Mora Isser V'Heter. Yadin, let him be Yadin, etc. So you need Netilas Rishus to do these things. So he says, Shmuel, without Rishus, was able to become Rosh Shiva, didn't stop him from becoming Rosh Shiva. Now, in terms of Isser V'Heter, Enochinami, Hilchsa Kerav B'Yisurei, we don't Paskin like Shmuel in Isser V'Heter. Perhaps Shmuel didn't even rely on himself to Paskin in Isser V'Heter. And in terms of Dine Mamnes, he said, well, Chachim Yiskari, he is going to be called the Chacham. And we know, Arotza L'Shachem Yasuk B'Dine Mamnes. Someone wants to be a Chacham, they should learn Dine Mamnes. They should be involved in Dine Mamnes. So Shmuel knew that he was a great Chacham. And the only nafkamina in having smicha in terms of dinim avnus is whether you have to pay when you make a mistake. But Shmuel was prepared to pay after making a mistake because he was confident enough in his abilities to get it right, and then he was right most of the time. Hilchsa k'Shmuel v'dinei, so it didn't affect him that much, and he felt that he was capable of being done dinei Torah in dinim avnus. Okay. Then says the Gemara, a famous line. Ravashi and Ravina sof hara'a. Ravashi and Ravina were the sof hara'a, the end of. I'm sorry, we missed the line. Rebbe Rav Nosson sof Mishnah. Ravashi and Ravina sof hara'a. Rebbe and Rav Nosson were the sof Mishnah, and Ravashi and Ravina were sof hara'a. Now Rashi over here is as interesting for what he does not say as for what he does say, because most of the time you would imagine Rebbe Rav Nosson sof Mishnah, Ravashi and Ravina sof hara'a would mean that no one's allowed to argue on them. That was the end of an era, and once the Chasimah Satalmud, or whatever, once the Mishnah was sealed, no one was allowed to argue after that, and once the Gemara was sealed, no one was allowed to argue after that. And in fact, the Gemara says, Simanach ad avo el mikdashi kel avina la achrisam. So somehow it's a remez in there that avina is a remez for Ravina, mikdashi is Rabbeinu HaKadosh, and la achrisam, that's the acharis, that's the end of it. Excuse me, sorry. But Rashi doesn't say that's the case, that no one's allowed to argue. He just says that Rebbe was the one who arranged all the various teachings of Tanayim, and he put them in a sequence, in a Seder, and he gathered together all the different statements, and was Mekavitz and Mesader, all the different things that were said throughout the generations, and put them in the order of Mesechtos, etc. He just organized things. Nothing about no one allowed to argue afterwards, and in fact, when it comes to Gemara also, Sofara, he says, Ravina and Ravashi were not Sofara in the sense that no one was allowed to argue. It's that they arranged all the different teachings and they put them together with the right Mishnayos so that you know what belongs to what and what belongs where you're supposed to learn various statements of Amoraim. But it wasn't really about the fact that you're not allowed to argue. Where did it come up that you're not allowed to argue then? Where do we get the idea that the Amoraim aren't allowed to argue with the Tanayim and that Rishonim aren't allowed to argue with the Amoraim? So it's not really based in Sof Hara'a, the Kesef Mishnah in Hilchos Mamrim, where it talks about that Beis Din is not allowed to be Cholik on a Beis Din that came before it, unless they're Gadol B'Chachma B'Minyan. Kesef Mishnah says that the Batei Din, that the Chachamim of the time, after the Chasimus HaMishnah, decided that their time would be better spent not arguing on the Tanayim and the Mishnah, but rather just figuring out what they had to say. They figured that if they continue to just carry on Machlokas, very often they're going to be wrong, and their time would be much better spent if instead of arguing, they would just try to figure out what the earlier generations meant and what they had to say. And that's why you have such a comment like the Gemara has in Ksubas and elsewhere, that Rav Tanahu Upalik, that Rav is a Tana and he argues. What do you mean he's a Tana and he argues? Shmuel's not a Tana and Rav is a Tana. So he's not, Rav isn't a Tana, Rav's an Amora. Right? If Rav was a Tana, then Rabbi Yochanan shouldn't argue with him and Shmuel shouldn't argue with him, but they do. No, Rav Tana Upalg means Rav was from the earlier generations of Amoraim, and he himself was never Makabal on himself not to argue with Tanaim. So in his generation, they were still arguing with the Tanaim. In terms of the Gemara, the Rambam writes in the end of his Hakdama to Mishnah Torah that that the reason that no one argues with Gemaras is not because there was not because of Sofara or anything like that. He says that va'achar beizdin shel Rav Ashi shechibra Gemara v'gamru b'yemei b'no nispazru Yisrael b'chol ha'aratzos pizur yaser. That after all this was done, the klal Yisrael, after the Gemara was finished, there was tremendous pizur and klal Yisrael was scattered around all over the place. L'kitzos v'yim aruchokim v'ravsa katata b'olam, and there was a lot of fighting in the world. V'nishtabshu adrachum agayasos, and because of that, v'nishtamai Talmud Torah went down, and certainly our Mesora went down, and we lacked a Mesora to continue to feel confident enough to argue on what was stated before. So that's why it's because of historical events right after the Chasimus of Talmud that the Mesora was weakened to the point that we were no longer able to argue. So that's why we don't argue. It's nothing to do with Ravina and Ravashi and their unique contribution. Their contribution was in organization. It wasn't in that no one was allowed to argue. It just happens to have been, coincidentally, that shortly after that generation, no one argues anymore because we lost a certain element of the Mesora. Says the Gemara Vayter, Amar Rav Kana, Ishtai li Rav Chama Bar Barte, Rav Chama Bar Barte d'chasa Rabba Bar Nachmeni, told me that Rabbi Nachmeni agav shmad nach nafshei, that Rabbi Bar Nachmeni, because of shmad, because he was so afraid of the malchus and their gzeros of shmad, that's why he died. Achlu be kurtza be malka. What happened was that the people told lashon hara about him to the melech. Amru, they said, Ika chad gavra biyudai to come vatal trace alfi gavra mi Israel, that there is this one Jew who is being mevatel 12,000 Jews, Yarcha b'kayatav, Yarcha b'sitva, mikagra d'malka, 1 month during the summertime and 1 month during the wintertime from paying the king's taxes. So this one guy is responsible for 12,000 Jews for an entire month in the winter, an entire month in the summer, not paying the taxes. Why? Because that's when he would have his shear. That was the month of the kala, the month of the shear. So when the king would look for them to try to collect the taxes, they weren't at home. Shadru pristika d'malka basrei. So they sent a messenger of the king after him, Vlashkache, and they couldn't find him. Arakva Azlum Pumadisa Lakra, he was running away. Obviously, Rab Bar Nachmeni was running away. He went from Pumadisa to Akra, Miakra Liagma, Miagma Lishkin, Mishachan Litzrifa, Mitzrifa Lain Adamim, Umain Adam Pumadisa. He went to all these different locations from place to place, Pumadisa Ashkache, and finally the messenger found him in Pumadisa. Ikla pristika de malka lahu shpiza de rabba. So the messenger of the king went to the inn where Rabba was staying. Krivutacha came in, they brought a table in front of him. Vashku tre kase, and they gave him two kosos to drink. Vidalyu l'tacha mikamei. And then they removed the table from him. So they let him know that, okay, you had two and you're done. Hadar patsufe lachore. And his face turned backwards. So they said, uh-oh, look what happened to him. I mean, the Shadim got the best of him somehow, and his face got all messed up. And they said, what are we going to do? We have to do something to help him. After all, he's the messenger of the king, so we have to help him. So why did his face turn backwards? What happened over here? So Rashi over here says that Shadim ha-mamunim ala zugos, mazikin es-hashos ha-zugos, ubnei ha-bayis lo niskavnu l'kach. That the people who were serving him didn't intend to do this, but there are shadim that are that relate to zugos, when something is done in pairs, that we're supposed to try to avoid doing things in pairs, like drinking two cups. You either drink one or you drink three, because there are certain demons that are able to attack when you do things in pairs. That's what Rashi assumes happened over here. The Gemara talks about this at the end of Maseches Pesachim. Generally, we assume, I think, the Achronim writes, some Sof writes in the Tshuva, tshuva. Mandala kapid, lo kaptina. And generally, we assume that nowadays, someone who's not makpid about sukkos, or maybe even the Gemara says, I don't remember, that someone who's not makpid about these things, that so we're not makpid anymore if you're not makpid. If you are makpid, so good, so you could be makpid. But generally, we assume these things don't affect those who are not makpid about them. So anyway, so he was in trouble over here, this guy. So they said, let's bring the table in front of him. We'll give him another kos. And then we'll remove the table from him, and he'll get better. So that was Rabbi Bar Nachmani's advice. Rabbi Bar Nachmani was there, and he gave this advice, and they in fact did that, and he got better. So he said, if this is what's happening to me, I know that the guy who I'm looking for is here. So he searched for him in that inn, in that hotel, and he found him. So Amar Zilnameha, he told Rabbi Nachmani, look, because I know you're such a holy person, I'm going to leave here, I'm going to pretend I didn't see you. Imiktal katlu gavra lomaglina. If they kill me, I won't reveal your whereabouts. Even if they threaten to kill me, I'll die and I won't reveal your whereabouts. But maglina. But I know myself, and I know that if they start beating me up, if they start torturing me, forget it. I'm going to cave in. I'm not ready to handle any sort of torture. So ultimately they caught Rabbi Bar Nachmani and they brought him to the king. They arrested him somehow. So it's unclear. Some of the Mefarshim say that the guy lied to Rabbi Bar Nachmani. Told him he wouldn't rat him out, but he really did. He was hoping that Rabbi Nachmani wouldn't continue to run, knowing that this guy wasn't after him anymore. Because the very next line of the Gemara is that they already had him arrested. How did they have him arrested if he just said he wasn't going to reveal his whereabouts? So it could be that he was tricking him. So Aile La Adruna Tarke Lebava Ba'anpe. So they brought him to a chamber and they locked the door. Boy Rachme Parakashisa. So he davened and the wall caved in. Arak va'azala agman. Then he ran away to an agam. Havi yasev agirda de dekula, and he was sitting on the stump of a dekel tree. V'kagaris, and he was learning. Kamifki b'mesifta derekia. Now at that time they were arguing in the mesifta derekia about the detailed halachos of tumas tzara'as, and they said in beheres kodemus l'ser lavan tame. We know that if beheres comes before the white hair, then it's tame. V'mser lavan kodem beheres tahar. If it's the reverse, it's tahar. Safek, if we're not sure which one came first, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Omer Tahar V'kulu Mesifta D'Rukia Amri Tameh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says Tahar, and the entire Mesifta D'Rukia disagreed with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and said Tameh. V'Amri Man Nochach Nochach Rabbi Bar Nachmani. And they said, okay, who's around who's a great expert that could deal with this? Rabbi Nachmani is around. I'm Rabbi Nachmani. Ani Yachid B'Negoim Ani Yachid Ba'alos. Because Rabbi Nachmani was a great expert in Tumah Tahara, in Negoim and Alos specifically. So Shadru Shlicha Basrei, they sent someone to bring Rabbi Bar Nachmani up to Shemayim, right, to kill him. Love Matsi Malach HaMavas the Mikra of Leib, but the Malach HaMavas couldn't get near him, because as we said, he was sitting on the stump of the tree learning, and we know from like the Gemara by David HaMelech in Masechet Shabbos, Daf Lamed or so, that when a person is learning, the Malach HaMavas is unable to get to the person. Sadahachi Nashav Zika Vavish Beni Kani Savar Gunda de Parshihu. So a wind blew and the reeds started to shake, and everyone assumed, and Rabbi Nachmani assumed that it was a troop of horsemen from the king coming to get him. Amar Tenech Nafshedu Gavra Vloim Sobiyadu de Malchusa. He said, I'd rather die than to be given over in the hands of the Malchus. Kiavakanicha Nafshe Amar Tar Hatar. So he was dying. He stopped for a moment and he submitted to the Malach HaMavas essentially, and because he said he'd rather die than have to get killed by those troops. So when he was dying, he said, Tahar, Tahar. He declared Tahar, Tahar. Yatsa Baskel va'amra, Ashrecha Rabbi Nachmani, Shaguf Chatar, V'yatsa Nishmascha B'Tahar. A Baskel came out and said, wow, how fortunate you are, Rabbi Nachmani, that your guf is Tahar and your neshama left with the word Tahar on your lips. Nafal pitka mirakiya bin Pumadisa, Rabbi Nachmani nispakish b'yeshiva shalmaila. And a note fell from heaven in Pumadisa that said, Rabbi Nachmani has died. Nafku Abai v'rava v'kul rabbanon liyosukebe. So Abai, Rava, and all the rabbis went to go try to bury him if he died. La v'yadiduch Tifle, but they didn't know where he was. Azla Agma, they went to the Agam. Chazut Tzipari de Metali Vikaimi, they saw birds hovering around a certain area. Amri Shmami Na Hasmu, they said, oh, he must be there. Safdu Tlas Yom of Tlas Elu, so they were masked for 3 days and three nights. Nafal Pitka, again, a note fell from the Shemaim, Kalaporesh Yehe Benidwe, that anyone who stops being masked him at this point, it's still too early, you got to be masked him more, you can be Benidwe if you stop being masked him. Safdu Shavi Yomi, they were masked him for 7 days. Nafal Pitka Lechulu Beischem L'Shalom, and a note falls from heaven that says, okay, now you can go home. It's a very, very strange story over here. The Ribbono Shel Olam argues with the Mesifta Derekia. How is anyone allowed to argue with the Ribbono Shel Olam? So, and anyway, we know famously the Rambam paskins against the Ribbono Shel Olam and against Rabbi Nachmani. Rabbi Nachmani says Tar Tar, and the Rambam paskins otherwise. So Kesef Mishnah writes, the Rambam paskins otherwise because Lo Bashamayim he. So what the Ribbono Shel Olam says doesn't matter because Lo Bashamayim we determine the halacha. That's nice, but what about the fact that Rabbi Nachmani also said it? So Kesef Mishnah says no. Yeah, it's also Lo Bashamayim he. That when, if a person says something when he's dying, so that's like it's considered Bashamayim, and Lo Bashamayim he, we don't paskin based on something like that. So the Chassam Sofer is very bothered by that. He says, what do you mean? Where do we ever find that? When a person is dying, it's called that it's Bashamayim already. Why? He's not dead yet. As he's dying, he's telling you his last dying words. What does that have to do with Bashamayim? That's a rabbi paskening a shaila, and Rabbi Nachmani was the greatest expert in the Gan Va'alos. So why couldn't the Rambam paskin like him? Why do we assume necessarily that that would fall in the category of Lo Bashamayim? So if some sofer says, no, it's a different Lo Bashamayim. It's not because he said it while he was dying. It's because Rabbi Nachmani died alone. No one was there. How do we even know that this whole story happened? So this whole story was either from notes that fell from Shemayim or from Baskels that came and told us about Rabbi Nachmani dying and Rabbi Nachmani's words on his mouth being Torah Tar. It was all based on Baskels. So to know that that's the case, to know that all this actually happened, is totally Bashamayim. So that's why you can paskin against it in terms of the Lo Bashamayim. In terms of the machlokas between the Ribbono Shel Olam and the Mesifta Derekia, so obviously there's a lot written on this topic. I'll just tell you very briefly. Rabbi Yaakov Emden over here says Yesh l'daktik ba'agadah zu anafleis ma'od milvad mashenir tamur l'kol eich yachlukum Mesifta Derekia makadosh baruch hu. He says v'nirli da'achiu hach plukta v'adei havi be'inin Yisrael shaleim nemra parshas negam b'yichud. This was really a machlokas about Klal Yisrael. He says gam b'chelik d'orshu chazal kulo hafach lovan tahar al Yisrael she'in ben David ba ad she'tehapech ha'malchus l'minus. When we talk about kulo hafach lovan, we talk about negat sara'as, it's speaking metaphorically about Klal Yisrael. If Mashiach is going to come, when we all become, if everyone becomes an apikoras, or if everyone is all good, if it's kulo l'zchus or kulo in the negative, that's when Mashiach is going to come. And the Gemara is discussing what happens if it's somewhere in the middle. So this is not really about a din in halacha. This means something much, much deeper. And then he says, anyway, when it comes to being dan dinim, you're always maskelim and atzad. Even if the greatest, Ribbono Shel Olam is obviously the greatest dayan, but the machlokas doesn't start with the Ribbono Shel Olam saying his opinion, then others arguing. No, the Ribbono Shel Olam was maskelim and atzad. He would ask the Pemal Yishamala, and first the Malachim would speak, and then the Ribbono Shel Olam would say his opinion. Okay, a lot of very, very interesting and difficult things written about this Gemara. But it is Daf Yomi. We have to get moving here. So says the Gemara Vayter. Ahu Yoma Dinach Nafshe Dalya Zaafa Vidari Lahu Tayah Kirachiv Gamla Mehagisa Dinar Papa Vishadi Bahakisa. That day that Rabbi Nachmani died, a wind came and blew an Arab merchant who was riding his camel from one side of the river of Papa and threw him onto the other side. Amr Mayhai, he said, wow, that's odd. What just happened to me? Amr Lay Nachnafshe Rabbi Nachmani. They said, well, Rabbi Nachmani died today. A lot of weird things are happening. Amr Lufan of Ribbono Shel Olam Kuli Alma Didach Rabbi Nachmani Didach. The whole world is yours, Ribbono Shel Olam, this merchant says. And Rabbi Nachmani is now yours also. At the Rabbi Rabbi Didach. You could hang out with each other all the time. It's wonderful. Amaika Machrevas Le'alma. Why are you destroying the the world. You should be happy today. So Noch Zafa, then the wind stopped. Rabbi Shimon ben Chalafta, Bal Basarav, Rabbi Shimon ben Chalafta, totally unrelated story, happened to have been a very fat guy. Tosa says, why are we talking about Rabbi Shimon ben Chalafta being fat right now? He says, because remember, yesterday we were discussing Rabbi Shimon being fat. Now, one thing led to another, and we got to all these other side conversations, but once we're talking about fat people, so we mentioned that Rabbi Shimon ben Chalafta was obese. So Yom Echad Avachamim Malay, one day it was very hot, Havasalik V'yasiv Ashinu Detura, so he went to the peak of a mountain where there's a nice cool breeze, and he went to sit up there. Amalal Labarti Biti Hanifa Labi Manifa Vaniyat and Laich Kikaran Dinard. He says, blow on me with a fan, and I'll give you bundles of nerd, which is some type of treat. So the Hachi Nashvazika. So while that happened, a wind blew. Amar Kamaki Karan Dinar Lamari Dichi. He says, wow, I should give so much more of this gift to the Ribbono Shel Olam because he fans me better than everybody, even better than my daughter. And that's I'm willing to pay for certain things, and the Ribbono Shel Olam provides it free of charge. Hakol Kaminig HaMedina. So the Mishnah said that when you hire workers, in terms of determining what the terms of the employment are going to be, in terms of what the employer has to offer them, so it all depends on Minig HaMedina. It all depends on what's standard practice in that place. So Hakol Asuyemai. What are we adding with this phrase Hakol Kaminig HaMedina? So La Asuy Ba'asu Dinihigi Michra Chrifto Mishta Anpaka, in a place where the Minig is to provide a sandwich and a drink to the workers before they go to work, if the boss were to tell the workers, go to the job site and I'll bring it to you there, I'll give it to you later. So Amru lo, lo kol kaminach. The workers can tell the boss, sorry, you don't have the right to determine that. Minhag HaMedina is we get the food first, give us our breakfast first, and then we'll go to the job site. You can't ask us to go there before providing the food. Then the Mishnah told, if you recall, the Mishnah told the story that Rabbi Yochanan ben Masya asked his son to go hire workers, and his son made a deal with the workers that I'm going to provide you mizonos. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Masya said, oh no, what did you do? How can you give them mizonos? How can you tell them you can give them mizonos? You know how much you have to give them? They're B'nai Avram Yitzhak V'Yakov. You have to give them more than Suda Shlomo Melech B'Shaito. You shouldn't have made such a deal. Quit before they start working. Go undo the agreement. So ask the Gemara, Solistar. What do you mean? The previous line of the mission, we just said that these types of terms are all based on what the Minhag HaMedina was. What was he so worried about? It was just whatever the Minhag HaMedina was is what they were entitled to. They weren't entitled to Suda Shlomo Melech B'Shaito and more. They were entitled to whatever normal workers get. So answers Gemara Chasurim Achsavach Hiktani. It's missing a line over here. This is how the Mishnah should read. The impossible and Mizonos Ribalahan, if you are Posek to provide them with mizonos, then you got to give them a lot. So Ma'ase Namar, Rabbi Masya, Shamar Lebno, Say Sachalano Paul, and Halachu Pasuklen Mizonos. And we had this story. Rabbi Yochanan Masya told the son to hire workers who agreed to give them mizonos. Uk Shabayit Alav, Vivamar Lo Bni, Afilu Atal Sen Kusud Shlomo B'Shaito, Lo Yatsi Dei Chavaschi Iman Shein Bnei Avram Yitzchak V'Yakov. And he criticized his son because he felt that they would never be able to provide them with everything these workers deserve. Lememar the Sudas of Avram Avinu Adifu Midi Shlomo. Wait a second. Is the Mishnah saying that Avram Avinu had greater Sudos than Shlomo HaMelech? Right? He said, even if you were to give them Shlomo HaMelech Suda, it would not be enough because they're children of Avraham Yitzchak V'Yaakov, implying that the Sudas of Avraham Yitzchak V'Yaakov were greater than the Sudas of Shlomo. But really, is that true? Vaksiv, look at the Pesukim that describe the Sudas of Shlomo. Pasuk says, Vayihi lechem Shlomo liyom echad shloshim kar solos v'shishim kar kemach asara vakar b'riim esrim bakar ri'i umeyat sol nevad me'ayul tzvi v'yachmav v'varbur mavusim. All these unbelievable things that they had. V'amar garyun ben astayun v'shmei derav halal la'melu shal tvachim. When we talk about the kemach and the solas, all of that was just for the dough that they would stick around the tops of the pots to absorb flavor from whatever food was cooked in the pot. That wasn't even their main bread. That was just the dough that they would stick around the tops of the pots. And Rabbi Yitzchak would say that the meats that we're talking about were just for the tzike kedera. They were also not the main meats. They were only the min machal that they would put in the tzike kedera, which apparently was like an appetizer type of meat. Not only that, this description, Shlomo Melech had 1,000 wives, each one would prepare a su'uda like this. My time, why would each one do that? Zusvura Shema Etzli Soed Hayom, Vizusvura Shema Etzli Soed Hayom. They would never know which house he would come to eat in that day. So they would always take the chances and hope that he would come to them and be prepared. Vilukave Avram, even by Avram Avinu, it says, Vela Bakar Ratz Avram, Vayikach Ben Bakar Rach V'tov. Now what did he do? They took a Ben Bakar, they took an animal, and they shechted the animal. Vam Ravidom Rav, Ben Bakar Echad, Rach Shnayim V'tov Shalasha. Okay, so it wasn't one animal. It says Ben Bakar, so that's one, and then it says Rach, which implies a second animal, and Tov implies a third animal. So three animals. So answers the Gemara, no, Hasan Tlasa Turu Tlasa Gavri. Difference is by Avram Avinu, it was three animals for three people. Hachal Kol Yisrael V'Yehuda. Over here, this food that was being cooked for Shlomo Melech wasn't just for Shlomo, it was for the entire Yehuda. Shenamar Yehuda V'Yisrael Rabim Kachol HaShar Al-Sasayam. That there were so many Jews at that time, and this was food to provide for the entire Jewish people. My Barburim Avusim, what are Barburim Avusim? Amongst the foods listed, we recognize most of them. What in the world are Barburim Avusim? So he says, Amarav, Sha'ov Simos and Balkarchon, it's types of birds that you have to force feed them. Ushmuel Amar Sha'avusim Va'om De Me'aleim. He says, no, they're types of birds that fatten themselves, that they get fat all by themselves. Rabbi Yochanan Mavin Turmi Mariso B'Delo Anis, V'Tarnagolos Me'ashpasa B'Delo Anisa. No, it's that they would bring an ox from its grazing without forcing it, and the Tarnagolos from its ashpa without forcing it, that it would just walk along without having done any sort of work. That it was an unworked type of animal, so it didn't get too muscular, I guess, and the meat was very good because it never did any work. It's like veal, right? They make sure that the little baby cows don't walk and don't move too much and are like locked up in a little area because you don't want them to develop any muscle because then the meat's not as tender. So they would make sure these animals didn't do too much. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Muvchar Shebehemos Shar, the best of all behemos to eat is a shar. Muvchar Shebaofos Tarnagolas, the best of all ofos to eat is a tarnagolas. Amar Amemar, Amemar gives a fourth explanation of what these barburim avusim are. He said, Zag sa uchma bei batnisa de mishtacha beni yitzri. It's a black hen that has a very big stomach that you could find in the wine press. Thalmatsya pasya kanya. And it was so fat, it couldn't even pick up its legs high enough to step over a reed. Velabaka ratz Avram. So now the Gemara continues to darshan the psukim by Avram Avinu when the Malachim showed up to his house. So it says, Velabaka ratz Avram. Amar Avidam Rav. Ben bakar echad rach shnayim tov shlosha. Like we said, it was really three animals that they got. Ve'machad, kedamri inshi rachich v'tav. Maybe it was really one animal, but the rach and tov are descriptions of the one animal. Like people say, rachich v'tav, that it's soft and it's good. So maybe it's just saying that it had soft and good tender meat. So he says, no, imkein l'chtov rach tov, my v'tov. Why the vav? Shema min el drasha. So you see, must be coming to teach me a drasha that there are multiple animals. Same a tray. But maybe it was only two animals. Midatov l'drasha, rach nami l'drasha. No, if the word tov is there for a drasha because of the vav at the beginning of it, so rach must also be there for a drasha. If tov is not merely a description, then rach must also not merely be a description, but telling us about another animal. Masav rab barula vitem rab hoshia, vitem rabbi nasim bar hoshia, vitem el nar vayimar la soso so. He told the nar to go quickly and make oso. If it was three animals, shouldn't it be osam? Why is it oso? Because he had three different na'arim and he gave a different job of a different animal for each nar. So each nar was only making oso, but there were three na'arim that were making three animals. Shouldn't it be vayitnam lefneihem, that they placed them before them? What does it mean they placed it before them? So the kamakama dematia aisi lekamayu. As each one was done, they brought one at a time in front of the guests. They didn't bring all three at one time. So that's why it could still be that there were three animals. V'lamuli tfasa tiski b'chad, but why do they need three animals? Why not just bring one? Samarav chan barav k'dei l'achilu sholosh l'shonos b'chad. They wanted to give each one a tongue with mustard, the choicest meat. Amar b'tanachum barchaniloi lo'ol malishan adam in a minute. A person should never veer from what the minig is, from what's the accepted practice in the place where he is. Shari Moshe al lamarum v'lo achalecha. Moshe went up to Shemayim and he stopped eating bread. He didn't eat for 40 days and 40 nights because you don't eat up in Shemayim. Malach Esharis came down here and they did eat bread. Really, they ate? Elayim mirik mishachal v'shas malachim can't really eat, but they pretended to eat. So Amar Rav Yudam Rav Kol Masha Asav Ram Malchay Ashrayis Ba'atzma Asakadosh Baruch Hu Lebanim Ba'atzma. Everything Avram Avinu did on his own with these malachim, Hakadosh Baruch Hu repaid Avram Avinu's children on his own by himself without sending a shliach. V'kol Masha Asav Avram Avinu Alidei Shliach Asakadosh Baruch Hu Lebanim Alidei Shliach. And anything Avram Avinu did through a shliach, Hakadosh Baruch Hu repaid his children through a shliach. And it goes through all the psukim. V'labakarotz Avram. Hakadosh Baruch Hu pays us back. V'ruach nasa meis Hashem. Avram, by Avram it's vayikachem v'chalav. Hakadosh Baruch Hu pays us back. Hinni manti lechem lechem in Hashmayim. By Avram v'hu omele aleim tachas ha'etz. Hakadosh Baruch Hu pays back. Hinni yomei lefenecha shama latzur. By Avram Avinu it's v'Avram holich imam l'shalcham. Hakadosh Baruch Hu pays us back. V'Hashem holich lefneim yomam. By Avram it's yukach nomat mayim. Hakadosh Baruch Hu v'yikisu b'tzur v'yotzim menu mayim v'shasei ha'am. Upligad Rabbi Chama Bar Chanina, and this is in disagreement with Rabbi Chama Bar Chanina. Tam Rabbi Chama Bar Chanina v'chein tam debei Rabbi Shmuel b'schar shlosha zachul shlosha. As a schar for three things, we were zochet to three things. B'schar chama v'chalav zachul man. As schar for the chama v'chalav that Avram Avinu brought, we were zochet to the man. B'schar v'omid aleihem zachul amud anan. In schar for Avram Avinu being omid aleihem, so we were zochet to the anan. B'schar yukach namat mayim zochet lebe'er shel Miriam, and in schar of yukach namat mayim we were zochet to the be'er of Miriam. So you see, it associates different things, different rewards with the mitzvos that Avram Avinu had done. Okay, all right, we'll stop here. Okay, let's continue. I got it to Avram Avinu tomorrow morning.